A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So what happened in the lead up to Palm Sunday? We saw Jesus at the beginning of his ministry being baptized by John. We read in the Gospels about him calling his disciples, healing people, sometimes individuals, sometimes many people at one time. As we read through the Gospels, we see Jesus teaching large crowds and having intimate conversations with individuals. He performed miracles. He told stories. He used parables to tell people about God. He taught them to live the way God wanted them to live. We can think of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. Those three chapters in Matthew's Gospel that tell us how we can live. Jesus was always ready to answer questions, to answer those who came to him. And Jesus sent out the 12. And gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to cure every kind of disease and sickness. He sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel. He warned them it wouldn't be easy. They'd face opposition, just as we often do. But he gave them the assurance that they were not to worry about what to say or how to say it when they were arrested. He said that at that time they would be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. In the Gospels we read about Jesus going to the synagogue with his disciples and the Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders opposing him. After Jesus had healed the man with the shriveled hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath, in Matthew 12 we read, the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Throughout the Gospels we see Jesus carefully explaining who he is and why he's come. But his words often fall on deaf ears. Even when he spoke in parables, when he performed miracles, when he fed the 5,000, when he walked on water, still people didn't believe. We think of Matthew's Gospel that our reading came from this morning. In chapter 16, we read that when Jesus was with his disciples in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And the disciples replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus asked the question, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And I'm sure you remember Peter's answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had got it. He had understood at last. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And from that point on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer, that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. And you remember Peter's reaction to that, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Peter, the one whose eyes had been opened to see who Jesus really was. And you remember Jesus' reply to Peter, "Get out of my sight, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." What a rebuke. Jesus left his disciples in no doubt about the cost of following him. He teaches about the need for humility and the importance of forgiveness. He tells more parables: the lost sheep, the unmerciful servant, the workers in the vineyard. Too many stories to go into here. The first 20 chapters of Matthew's Gospel. If you have time, why not sit and read through a whole Gospel in one sitting? Just see that story recounted of how Jesus was born, how he lived, how he taught, and how he went on his way to the cross. And then we come to chapter 21 that Victoria read from us, Jesus' entry in Jerusalem. And that was followed by dramatic acts like driving the money changers from the temple, cursing the barren fig tree. And his authority was soon challenged. And in response, Jesus told the parable of the two sons and the wicked tenants. And that was understood by the religious leaders to be directed toward them. Jesus told a third parable directed to the religious leaders, the parable of the wedding feast. And the leaders responded as various factions tried to trip Jesus up with questions. The Pharisees and the Herodians asking Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar. The Sadducees presenting an argument against the resurrection of the dead. And a lawyer asking, "What was the greatest commandment of the law?" And you remember the answer? "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbour as yourself." With the religious leaders silenced by their inability to entangle Jesus with their questions, Jesus proceeded to decry the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees in a series of scorching rebukes. You can read those in chapter 23 in Matthew's Gospel. But despite his strong condemnation, his love for them was still evident by his lament for the people of Jerusalem. We go into chapter 24, and that records the beginning of what's known as the Olivet Discourse, when Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives and the disciples came to him privately, prompted by questions following Jesus' prediction of the destruction of the temple. Going on into chapter 5, Jesus continued with two parables, illustrating the need to be prepared and productive. Parable of the wise and foolish virgins and the talents. And he finished by predicting his judgment of the nations on how they treated one another. And then into chapter 26, that describes that flurry of events that led up to Jesus' arrest and trial and the plot to kill Jesus. Jesus being arrested, Jesus being anointed by Mary, the last Passover, and the institution of the Lord's Supper. Jesus' prayers in the garden, his betrayal by Judas, and arrest, the appearance before Caiaphas and the council, and Peter's denial as foretold by Jesus. And we'll remember these events as we gather here on Thursday evening, on Maundy Thursday, or on Friday evening at Chalmers Adler. I think it's so difficult for us to imagine that first Palm Sunday, because we know what happened in the rest of the week. We know about the crucifixion, we know about the resurrection. But what do we learn from Palm Sunday today? As Victoria read the story earlier, the next day the great crowd that had gathered heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." This crowd praised him and celebrated his miracles, and with great expectation told everyone about him. But did they really know him? They were waiting for someone who would rule with strength and might. But he came as a humble servant. They wanted him to finally bring their people glory. But he wanted to change them so that their lives would bring God glory. They were expecting a general who would crush their enemies. But he came saying, "Love your enemies." They thought he could offer them deliverance from their oppressors. But he came offering deliverance from sin. This crowd soon realized that Jesus wasn't going to be what they wanted, and they turned on him before they ever realized that he was what they needed. So as they yelled, "Crucify," Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "I'm not that kind of king." His kingdom isn't established by chaos and war. His kingdom is in our hearts. His kingdom is truth. His kingdom is goodness. His kingdom is righteousness. He is the humble king, the king of healing, the king of forgiveness, the king of love. So what about us? Are we acting as humble servants? Are our lives bringing glory to God? Do we love our enemies? And do we know that deliverance and forgiveness from sin in our lives? Today, as we lift our voices, we cry, "Hosanna, save us from our sin. Come dwell in our hearts. Hosanna, we worship you, Jesus Christ, our King." Let's just have a moment of quiet as we think about these things before we sing our final hymn. Father, we pray that you would help us to act as humble servants. We pray that our lives would bring glory to you, and that you would help us to love our enemies. And we thank you for forgiveness from sin, and pray that you would help us day by day to worship you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.